Have you ever had an occasion where right out of the blue, one word stops you in your tracks? Well, this particular word did for me. And it's not even a word that we would use in everyday language. But did you know that it appears 74 times in the Bible? 74. 71 times it appears in the book of Psalms, where it separates out the Psalms into different sections. And 3 times it appears in the book of Habakkuk. Now, some of the more modern translations have changed this word to the word interlude, which for me, I think, changes the meaning, and you lose what the word is actually trying to say to you. Now, if you look in the dictionary, well, it says there that the word Selah means to pause or to think about. And in the dictionary, there are lots of other words. I'm not going to read them all out because there's far too many there. But you get the meaning of it. It means to take the time to actually let what you're reading speak to your heart. Think deeply about what God's trying to say to you. Don't rush. And we're all very good at that, aren't we, in today's society? We're already good at rushing around and doing things as quickly as possible. Sometimes we just need to stop, to listen, to be still, and just allow God to speak to us. When this word is actually being put through the Psalms, it separates the Psalms out in order for you to take each part of the psalm and think about it. The psalms are not like Bible stories where you read through from the beginning to the end, building up to a conclusion of a story. They're more about what the psalmist is experiencing. And sometimes you need to stop and think and to ask yourself the question, what is the psalmist going through? Why is he recording these particular thoughts? Is this something that I can relate to? And what is God trying to say to me through this? Living life in the fast lane could look like that. Sometimes everything can become such a blur that we lose the ability to pick out what's important. When we go through life at such a fast pace, we sometimes do things automatically, but then we forget to take notice of what's actually happening. We can hear conversations, but don't listen to what's actually being said. How many times have you had a conversation at home with your partner, and then you've asked a question, and your partner's looking at you, and you think, "What? What's wrong?" And he says, "I just told you that, but you didn't listen." I know I'm guilty of that all the time. But what you've done is you've lost the ability to focus on the immediate situation because you're so busy thinking about what's coming next or what you need to do next. You blink and the moment is gone. How much more frustrated do you think God feels when we rush around doing things for him? Yes, we read our Bible readings, we even pray to him, but we forget to take the time to pause, to stop and listen about what he wants to say to us. Stop and just listen. Now, most of you know that I had to go into hospital earlier in the year to have a foot operation. And while I was recuperating at home, Sally came to visit me and she brought me a book. And it was called this, Rhythms of Rest. And it's a fantastic book. And it just talks about stopping and resting and listening and being aware of what God is doing. And this lady that wrote it, Shelley Miller, she describes how she makes time in a busy world to encourage her readers to stop and just be still before God. One of the experiences that she writes about happened while she was on an Alpha conference in London. And this is what she writes. During an Alpha leadership conference being held in the Royal Albert Hall, we were perched high in one of the boxes, surrounded by 6,000 people from all around the world. When Father Raniero Cantalamessa, a preacher to the Royal Papal Household, was invited to pray before breaking for lunch. Everyone present stood to their feet, and the Father bowed his head. And we waited. And we waited. We waited in silence for 3 minutes. What was he doing? Why was he taking so long? Why isn't he saying anything? The longer the silence went on, the more people began to fidget and started looking at their phones and started looking around and glancing at each other. Afterwards, it became clear that Father Raniero was practicing Selah, to stop and to listen. He was weighing the meaning of what was being asked of him in that moment, and he was practicing that all-important pause and listening for God's voice before he was doing something that was most likely second nature for him. Mark Twain said, "The right word may be effective, but no word was ever as effective as a rightly timed pause." Pausing gives you time to think. It gives you the focus that you need to prepare the right response. How many times do you get asked to do something and you breeze through it because you do it so often that you don't stop to think? Or do you worry about silence in a conversation, so much so that you fill it with chatter? Silence can be disarming, but it's where you learn to listen. It's where you pick up on what God might want to say to you in a specific situation. It's where you hear the heart of God. And that all familiar verse that we've heard so often this morning already, "Be still and know that I am God." When we take the time to stop, when we pause and we rest in God's presence, we then place ourselves in the position of hearing God. Our Bible passage for today is the Lord's Prayer found in Matthew 6. And we're going to look at it from the New King James Version. Now, the verses will be on the screen, but what I want to encourage you to do is to close your eyes and to just listen carefully. Hear God. Take the time to allow him to speak through the busyness of your life and capture God's heart. You may be surprised by what you hear. Let's close our eyes. Our Father in heaven.
What is it?
Excuse me, I'm praying.
Oh.
Our Father in heaven.
Hello, I'm here.
Can you wait till I'm done?
You called me.
I did?
Yes, you said, "Our Father in heaven."
I didn't call you. I'm praying. Our Father in heaven.
There, you did it again.
Did what?
Called me. You said, "Our Father in heaven." Go ahead, I'm listening.
But I didn't mean anything by it. I wasn't expecting anyone to actually answer me. I was just saying my prayers for the day. I always say the Lord's Prayer. It makes me feel good, kind of like getting my duty done for the day.
All right, go on.
Yeah, sure. Hallowed be your name.
Hold it. You really think so?
Think what?
Think my name is hallowed. Of course, you know what it means, right?
Good grief, I don't know what it means. How should I know? It's just part of the prayer. By the way, what does it mean?
It means holy. You do mean that, right?
Yeah, sure.
Then, how about yesterday, when you were driving home and you were following that really slow driver in the car in front of you? My name was not quite so hallowed then, was it?
Wait, you heard that? But I didn't mean what I said. I was in a rush coming home. You know what it's like.
How would you like it whenever, if someone stubbed their toe or I was delayed, they said, "Oh, Christine."
Sorry.
I forgive you. Now go on.
You know, this is going to take forever if you keep interrupting me like this.
Would that be so bad?
Would what be so bad?
Talking with me forever.
I don't know. I never thought about it like that.
Well, do. It might happen.
Oh.
Go on. Continue.
Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Whoa. Are you sure that's what you want?
Want all of what?
My kingdom coming and my will being done.
Well, actually, I really like the on earth as it is in heaven. We could use more heaven on earth.
What are you doing about it?
Me? Doing? Nothing, I guess. I just think it would be kind of neat if you got your will to be done.
How do you expect to do it?
Well, since it's your kingdom and your will, I kind of thought you...
You can't have a kingdom without subjects.
Well, I go to church.
It's really not as hard as you think. You need to love me with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength. And love your neighbour as yourself.
Oh, my giddy aunt.
Her too.
Wow. You know, I'm just as good as everyone else who goes to church.
Excuse me. I thought you were praying for my will to be done. If that's going to happen, it might start with those you are praying who are praying for it. Like you, for example.
Oh. Well, I haven't really thought about it very much until now. But, you know, there are some things I'd like to cut out. It would be nice to be free from a few things that are bothering me.
Good. Now we're getting somewhere. We'll work together, you and I. Some victories can truly be won. I'm proud of you.
Thanks. Can we keep moving along?
Certainly.
Give us this day our daily bread.
You could actually use a little less bread.
Hey, wait a minute. I was doing my religious duty and all of a sudden you break in and remind me of my shortcomings.
You know, half of my people ate less in the whole of last week than you ate for your breakfast. You know, Christine, praying is a dangerous thing. You can end up being changed. You called me and here I am.
Yeah, I guess. Picky, picky, picky.
You want me to do what's best for you, don't you?
Yeah, but I only asked for a little piece of bread.
And today, the bread I'm giving you is a half an hour Bible study, a free night with your family, and an extra £20 deducted from your bank account to the World Hunger Group of your choice.
All that for me? You shouldn't have.
Hey, I like to give you good things. Now, on with your prayer.
You know, this is taking a long time. Maybe we can continue tomorrow.
It's too late to stop now. Keep praying. I'm interested in the next part of your prayer. Well, go on.
I don't really want to. I'm scared.
Scared? Of what?
I know what you'll say.
Try me and see.
Really?
Really.
Okay, here goes. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
What about that incident at work?
See, I knew it. I knew you'd bring that up. Why, Lord, all those lies that were spoken about me, all the extra work that I put in, and she got the credit for it.
But your prayer, what about your prayer?
I'm not sure how much of it I really meant.
Well, at least you're honest. But it's not much fun carrying around loads of bitterness inside, is it? How would you like your forgiveness?
She doesn't deserve to be forgiven. She's never sorry. And she does those things on purpose. Now enough is enough.
Whatever you say.
What do you mean, whatever I say?
Well, it's up to you. I'm willing to forgive you for your sins, the ones you don't mean, the ones you do mean. Remember, as you forgive, so you are forgiven.
Oh.
What do you think?
Well, I guess I can try to forgive her, but I'm not too sure I can pull it off. The more I want revenge, the more anger and bitterness I feel. Lord, I want to be right with you, but it's really hard. All right, I'll work on it. Help me to forgive her and some way, somehow, show her the right way.
Great. I'll tell you what, you do your part and I'll do mine.
Okay.
And don't worry, my best is pretty good. Come on now, just a little bit more.
And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now wait a minute, isn't that kind of a funny thing to pray? You're not going to lead me into sin, are you?
I don't know, you spend half of your time asking me to. You love being tempted, you're always hoping I'll arrange your situations so that you'll get yourself into precarious predicaments.
Oh, I guess once in a while a little innocent excitement isn't so bad. What's so wrong with wanting to win big on the premium bonds or wanting to have all the newest gadgets at home? And what's so wrong with all those films I watch every once in a while?
Then don't just use me as an escape hatch.
What does that mean?
Well, you've done it lots of times. You get caught in a bad situation, you get into trouble, and you come running to me. Lord, help me out of this mess, and I'll promise I'll never do it again. Do you remember some of those bargains you've tried to make with me?
Yes, and I'm ashamed, Lord, really am.
Which bargain are you remembering?
Well, there was the night I was driving home in the dark and running out of petrol. Actually, I'd spent the money on something else and I didn't have enough left to put petrol in the car. I remember praying, oh God, just let me make it home safe and I'll never skip prayer again.
I protected you, but you didn't keep your promise, did you?
I'm sorry, Lord, I really am. Up until now, I thought that if I just prayed the Lord's Prayer every day, then I could do what I liked. I didn't expect anything to happen like it did.
I think if you could honestly ask me not to lead you into temptation, then maybe that means you're halfway resolved to avoiding it yourself.
You got me again. It seems as though every time I open my mouth, there's something else you want me to change.
Sometimes you expect more out of your immediate family. Come on, time for the big finish.
For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Christine, do you know what would really bring me glory?
Actually, I'm kind of afraid to ask. I want to please you, and it would be great to really get to know you better, but...
Christine, you've just answered the question. Just keep talking with me every day, okay?
Yeah, I guess I could do that. I'd like that.
Great. Amen.
Amen. How would you feel if God interrupted you in your tracks when you started praying to him? How often has God tried to interrupt you and you've just ignored him and ploughed straight on to get to the end as quickly as possible? How often do you actually expect God to answer you? How many times do you rush through your prayers and forget that praying is a two-way conversation between you and God? Bringing requests before God is good, but we can only understand what God's heart is if we stop and listen to him. I don't believe it's coincidental that God gave me this word before I even knew of his plan for the churches to pray together, or that I would be given this particular date right in the middle of our prayer schedule. This is an important word that God wants us to hear. In the middle of our busy lives, he wants us to take the time to stop and to listen. We need to pause. We need to practice Selah in order that the Holy Spirit can speak to our hearts of what is on God's heart. This conversation that you just listened to, is typical of someone who just prays out of duty. Not expecting great things, it's just a routine they go through. And they're not even engaging with the one with whom we should have the greatest, most loyal relationship. Wouldn't you prefer to have a relationship with God where you can speak, listen, cry, and share with him? Now, this conversation is only one of many. Every conversation that you have with God will be unique because he'll have different things to say to each one of us. But the outcome will be the same. God wants us to have a relationship with him where we talk with him daily, where we're honest about our feelings, and where we're willing to allow him to help us to overcome our weaknesses. Only then will we be in a position to hear God's heart and to align our wills with his. But it all starts with a pause, being still before God, acknowledging his presence, and then capturing his heart. What will God say to you today?